Amen, amen. We're going to read this evening from God's Word, from the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible, chapter 12, about Abram, who will later be named Abraham. Let us read these words together. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated.
Physically, I never really had to push myself that hard. And stamina-wise, you're like, oh my God. It's like a psychological thing of knowing that you can do it more and more and more.
Daisy is training for a moment where she is on the islands and she has a moment to herself and she's practicing with the staff. And then she realizes, well, am I wasting my time practicing with the staff? I have Luke Skywalker's lightsaber in my satchel. Set. It's just working out the moves for that.
Action.
I was planning to teach her this whole routine in 3 days, but she surprisingly learned everything in an hour and a half.
How cool is that, right? We are excited. Let's go to the title slide, Jake. We are excited about May the 4th, and as we prepare for the kids, we have started a sermon series just last week as we talked about where God is leading us in this time, where God is leading us on this campus, and tonight is a special night. We get to talk about Star Wars and have this great time together. I am so excited that you are here. We have started a new sermon series called For the Kids. This sermon series is really something to inspire us to start praying about what God is doing on this campus as we consider children and youth space, dedicated space for children and youth that we really currently don't have. You may worship here on Friday nights and say, you know, we have plenty of room here. And that is true. Our hope, our goal, our prayer is to grow beyond this space and so that we could eventually move into the sanctuary, that really the people here would force us into that space and that we really wouldn't want to dump kids into the chapel into leftover space, that we would have dedicated and compelling space for them. But if you were here on Wednesdays or if you're here on some Sundays, you know that this place, campus, is totally packed out. And so we've been praying about what God is doing in us, what God is doing on this campus. Last week, we talked a little bit about sacrifice. If you have sermon notes, they're in your bulletins. If you're somebody who likes to write things down, they're there for you. We learned last week that sacrifice is giving up something of value to give to something of greater value. Jake, my clicker isn't working, so if you can go to that next slide. Sacrifice is giving up something of value to give to something of greater value. And we talked about that a little bit last week, how, you know, we have people in our lives, we have people who have sacrificed for us. And we've had, you know, parents, we've had teachers, we've had all these people in our lives who have sacrificed for us. And if you don't believe that there's anybody who's sacrificed for you, the fact that you're here this evening means that somebody has sacrificed for you. And that 18 years ago, there were people who were praying on this campus when this was an empty lot, when there was nothing around it. There were people who gathered in a circle and prayed for you, that you would be here, that you would be in this very spot, that you would have a place to call home. You would have a place to call home. People have given up something of value. And they gave up something of value. They gave up their time, their efforts, their energy. They also gave up their resources, something of value for you, for something of greater value. We also learned last week how you can't have sacrifice without vision. You can't have sacrifice without vision. You can't have sacrifice until you've seen something worth sacrificing for. Right? You can't have sacrifice until you've had this vision, you've had this foresight, you've had this idea of something worth sacrificing for. That we can't have sacrifice without vision. We learned about that last week, and today we're going to talk about preparation. We're talking about how the most important things in life, and the most important things in life take preparation. most important things in life take preparation. That's true in everything, right? And we saw the video of Daisy Ridley, who played Rey, and how she prepares for this role, right? How she is prepared for this role and how she has these lightsabers and all these things. If she were to show up just one day and say, I'd like to play Rey, right? If Daisy just walked onto the studio and said, today I'm going to play Rey, I'm going to be Rey. I haven't learned any lines. I haven't learned any of the cool lightsaber tricks. I haven't learned anything, but today I'd like to be Rey. The director would say, no, absolutely not. You know, go home. This isn't going to work. This is something so important that it takes preparation in your life, and maybe you know that. Maybe you've been a part of a team whenever you were growing up, whether it was sports or in band or whatever it was, or maybe today you work within a team, and you know that if you have a big project coming up, you can't just show up one day and have it all work out. But many times we want the goal, we want all the stuff, the hard work pays off without the hard work. But today we learn how the most important things in life take preparation. Take me to the, there we go. And this week we talked about how, this is not the right slide, Jake. I think we're going into scripture here. We learn in the book of Genesis chapter 12, how God calls Abram. God calls Abram in the book of Genesis, and the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, to the land that I will show you. God does not tell Abram where to go. God does not tell Abram where to go, but he says, get up, go from your country, from your kindred and your father's house. Go from everything you know to the place that you don't know. Can you imagine receiving that calling? Can you imagine receiving that calling? That truth be told, that's the calling God gives us every day. That's the calling that God gives us every day. We learn from the story of Abraham that even though Abram is called, he still has to make a tough choice, right? Even though Abram is called, he still has to make a tough choice. And that's important for us today. Because many times we are reticent to that, right? Many times we want God just to figure it all out for us. And we, you know, we pray like, God, if you would just show me the exact path. God, if you would just give me every step, if you would just show me everything that were to happen, just lay it out perfectly for me, then I'll do it. Right? God, if you'll work out the finances, if you'll work out my time, if you'll work out my family, if you'll have all these conversations for me, if you'll put my cousins in their place, and if you'll put my parents in their place, and if you'll do all of this for me, God, then I'll do it. Then I'll do it. And that's not what God said to Abram. He said, you get up and you go from your country and your kindred and your father's house. You have those tough conversations with your family and you go to the land that I will show you. God calls Abram, but he doesn't just work it all out for him. I love this quote by John Ortberger. I think he's exactly right. He says that many times when we pray for God's will and for our life, we want to be spared from making a difficult decision. Isn't that true? That many times whenever we pray for God's will in our life, we want to be spared from the tough choice. And we say, God, I don't want to have any difficult conversations. I don't want to have any confrontations. I don't want to do any of that hard work. I'd really like you to do it all for me, God. I'd really like you to do it all for me, please. And many times when we pray for God's will, we want God to work out the difficult decisions for us, but that's not what God does. God says, I have called you and I will be with you, but you are called to go, get up, leave your country, your kindred, your father's house, and go to a land that I will show you. And go to a land that I will show you. As we look forward to this campaign, as we look forward to this For the Kids campaign, we say, well, God, you know, I'll work towards that, and I'll provide for that if you do all this other stuff, God, right? If you work out the finances for me, if you give me, you know, the raise, I'll give all that extra money, or if you do all these things for me, God, I will give, and that's not how God calls us. God says, I have called you, but it's up to you to make the tough decisions. It's up to you to work out all those conflicts, all those things. Now God says, I will be with you, but it's up to you to do it. But it's good news. Whenever we do that thing, whenever we do that thing that God has called us to, there are good things that happen. We read this in Genesis 12. God says, I have called you out of this land, and I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. So that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now God has called Abram. God has called Abram to get up and go to another land, a land that he doesn't know. But God says, if you do that, you will be a blessing. You will be a blessing. I love this. It says Abram is promised to be a blessing, not just to receive a blessing, that every time God calls us, every time God calls us, it is not only for our benefit. It is not only for our benefit, but for the benefit of those around us. Right? So many times, you know, we want the stuff and we pray those Hail Mary prayers to God and say, God, just fix this stuff. You know, fix this stuff in my life. Make all this stuff right in my life. What we see throughout the Bible is that when God calls people, he not only makes their life right, but makes the life right of those around them. That they have all these relationships, all these people who they are tied to. That Abram is called to get up and go. And it's not just him that gets up and goes, but his entire family. And everything that he owns, which includes all of this stuff. And he takes it and he goes to another land. And through Abram, the nations of the world shall be blessed. Through Abram, the nations of the world shall be blessed. Friends, faith does not protect us from the world. Faith does not protect us from the world. It exposes us to the pain and suffering of the world so that we can be a balm to it. Faith doesn't just protect us, doesn't remove us from the world. That when we have faith in Jesus Christ, when we believe in Jesus, we are not blind to the world, but we are sent into it so that we can do something about all that pain, all that suffering, so that we can be a blessing in the world. And in order to be that blessing in the world, we have to grow outside of our comfort zones. We have to do this. We can't just do it whenever things are going right and just, you know, I'd like it just to be a little bit easier on me. I'd like to help. I'd like to be a blessing. I'd like to fix all of those wrongs that are out there, but I'd like to do so while I'm still in my easy chair, right? While I'm still watching TV, I'd like to text and give. I'd like to, you know, I'd like to tweet about it and maybe that'll fix it. Or I'd like to post it on Facebook and maybe that'll fix it. And God says, this is not the way it works. That we actually have to take a step outside of our comfort zone in order to do that thing. And so I've actually invited Mike Crandall. He's our administrative council chair. And he actually talks about this quite a much in his profession. I hope he'll tell us a little bit about that as well. But he's going to talk to us a little bit about our comfort zone. So will you help me welcome Mike Crandall?
Well, thank you for that nice warm welcome, and thank you for being here on this beautiful Friday night and worshiping with One Church. So as Andy shared, I was talking an awful lot about growth and change and comfort zones, and I want you to think about something for a second and how those words growth and change go with sacrifice. And when we want something different in our lives, it requires us to do something different. Which sounds really easy, but the vast majority of us greatly struggle with this. So I want you to just stop and think for a second. I want you to think about the words growth, and I want you to think about the words change, and how those play out. And I want you to think about something different that you want in your life that maybe you've wanted for a really long time. A lot of this boils down to, we want some type of different interactions. We go to the next slide, please. And we're going from the bottom up in this slide. Change is about different interactions. So I want you to think about maybe a different interaction that you want with somebody in your family. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's one of your kids. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a sibling. Maybe it's a different interaction with people at work. Maybe you're in sales and it's different interactions with prospects. Or clients in your business. We all want some type of different interactions in our lives. The challenge is that we struggle with this because we want to fast forward to the end. In order for us to have different interactions, we have to go from the bottom up in this. If I want to have different interactions, I need to have different actions. Different actions. So if I want to have a different interaction with another person, I have to do some things different. I have to do some things different. But in order for me to do some things different, I have to change my thoughts. I have to change my thoughts. In order for me to change my thoughts, I have to understand how we grow. I have to understand how we grow. So if you go to the next slide, please. I want you to think about things in your life that you want that you do not have today? For most of us, that's a pretty long list. Could be tangible things like a house, a car, job. Could be intangible things like relationships, maybe how close we are in our walk with Christ. All of those things that we want, that we do not have, are outside of our comfort zone. The vast majority of you have heard the phrase comfort zone at some point in time in your life. A comfort zone is kind of like an invisible bubble that we live in. And most of us have heard something like, you just need to get outside your comfort zone, which sounds really easy until I take the couple steps and I hit that invisible wall, that edge of my comfort zone bubble, and I go, well, that's way harder than I thought it was going to be. I want you to think about even having a difficult conversation with somebody. It's very, very likely that at some point in time in the last couple of years, you've had somebody you needed to have a difficult conversation with, and you never actually had it because it was outside your comfort zone. Or maybe you needed to forgive somebody, and that was outside your comfort zone. That circle on that slide and the circle on your handout represents your comfort zone. For those of you that are note takers, you might want to write comfort zone in there so you know what that refers to. We all have a comfort zone. Now, how does that fit into our life at church? I want you to think about people who do not know what we know or who do not know Jesus the way that we might know. Their comfort zone is different than ours. And if you get asked to come to church and you've never been to church, it's hard to say the first comfortable step is to come sit in on a full worship service. This For the Kids campaign that we're doing is greatly about this. There's a lot of people that comfortable first step that makes getting outside your comfort zone a little bit easier might be coming to something to children's or youth space. Might be to a basketball game. Might be to do something on the volleyball court that we recently put in. But I want you to think about yourself here for a second. If I were to ask you how many of you are super comfortable inviting somebody to church, I bet that the majority of you would say you're not. And that's okay, because we've all got a comfort zone. But if somebody said, hey, where do you go to church? Could I come with you? You'd be more than happy to talk about church. And that's okay, as long as you know where you're at and you begin to take some steps in growth. Now, what I want you to do as we transition to the next slide is I want you to think about how we grow. In my organization, and as Andy shared, this is what we do. We help people get outside their comfort zones to accomplish more. Most of that is in their professional life. We do coaching and consulting and training, and I speak all over the country on this topic. But the vast majority of us really don't know how we grow. So on your handouts, for those of you that are note takers, there's five lines there. Now, we noticed that some of them might not have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Some of them might have 6, 7, 8, 9. Just pretend that says 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 or renumber that. Apparently, we had a little bit of a tech glitch when we printed those. But to get outside our comfort zones, we have to understand that growth is a five-step process. Step number one is awareness. And I want you to think about this as awareness real quick. I want you to think about somebody that you know. Most of us have a friend that's like this, who might come to you and say, I am a great listener. And then for 20 minutes, they do not take a breath as they tell you how great of a listener they are. How many of you know this person? So, and if you do and they're in the room, do not point at them. It gets really awkward. But most of us have an awareness problem. It's usually not that obvious. But once we have awareness of growth, then we can seek out knowledge. When we come to church on Friday or Sunday, a lot of it's about knowledge. When we listen to Andy or Mark or whoever happens to be preaching, it's knowledge. Knowledge, by definition, is information we take in. When we read a book, it's knowledge. When we listen to audio or watch a video, or when we sit in here, it's knowledge. It's information we take in. And the reason there's a big line there, and you might want to put a big fat line underneath that as well, is that's where most of us stop. If you're honest with yourself, the majority of you heard something, said to yourself, that's a great idea, I'm going to do that, and then you never did it. Because when it came to the time to actually do it, you're like, wow, that sounded way easier in my head than it is right now. Even maybe around inviting someone to church. Growth really kind of starts at application. That's where we do something. We make a commitment. We ask a question. We do something different. But what I really want you to think about is the first time you do something new, how often does it work out perfectly? Hardly ever, and very seldom is it comfortable. We have to apply information a whole bunch to turn it into a skill. And skills are things that we do with some level of comfort, and these are all the spaces to fill in your handouts. But ultimately, we get to the point where things are habits. Now, one of the challenges that we have in growing outside of our comfort zone is that often we see somebody else who's gotten to the point where it's a habit, and we go, oh, it's easy for them. It wasn't easy for them at one point in time. I want you to think about, and one that's a specific one for me, I listen to Andy or Mark pray, and praying is a habit for them because they do it so much. It's not a habit for me. I have to work really hard to put the words together in prayer. But these guys have spent so much of their lives dedicated to that, it's a habit for them. And I want you to think about where you're at in something. As we take these steps in this capital campaign that's for the kids, every one of us is stuck somewhere in here. Now, why is growth so hard? Could we go to the next slide, please? There are four things that limit our growth in our lives. And by the way, this is true in our professional lives. It's true in our personal lives. It's true in our faith lives. There are four things that hold us back. And by the way, these are the only four things. Everything else that you might struggle with in growth is a subcategory of these. One of them is fear. Over the last few weeks, there's been a pretty strong sermon message from Andy and Mark around fear and how fear holds us back. But there's three other huge limiters to growth. There's apathy. The definition of apathy is that I'm already comfortable where I'm at. That means you're definitely stuck in your comfort zone, and if you're stuck in your comfort zone, you're not going anywhere. There's also ignorance. Ignorance is a great limiter. That person who comes up to you and says they're a great listener and they're not also probably has a little bit of an ignorance problem. But then the last one, and sometimes the most dangerous for some of us, is ego. That's like, I'm already good at that. As I went through that list, what generally happens is most of you thought about somebody else you know. If everybody in the room knew you, a couple of them would think about you. If you don't know where you're stuck in the awareness, knowledge, application, skill, and habit in those five steps in growth, you're stuck at awareness. Otherwise, you would know which one you're stuck on. Now, let me give you an example of how this plays out. You might want to do something, and you might go, that would be really cool. But if you never work beyond the edge of your comfort zone and you never actually get to where you apply it, whether that's asking somebody a difficult question, inviting them to church, maybe volunteering to stand at the door and greet, or maybe stepping up and thinking about how you can be part of this capital campaign. We end up very limited in where we're at. And by the way, growth hurts. Most of you experienced growing up, and those of you that are parents, depending on the age of your kids, you're familiar with growing pains. They physically happen when we're growing, but they also happen when we're growing professionally or personally or in our faith lives. So what I want you to do is I want you to think about, and would you go to the next slide, please? This is how we get better. Think, act, interact. I kind of went through that a couple of slides ago. We want different interactions, but I've got to change thoughts first. What I would be challenging you with and what I would ask you to really pray about is what thoughts do you need to change? What thoughts are limiting you? Maybe in your professional life, maybe in your personal life, maybe in your faith life. And if you work on changing those thoughts, you can then change your actions, which will allow you to change your interactions. We like to sum it up as think, act, interact. As the Administrative Council Chair, if there's anything that I can help you with, or if you've got any questions about this campaign and what we're doing, I'm more than happy to visit with you. I've been a person of this church for over 10 years now, and as a lay leader who's unpaid staff, as we like to say, I'm more than happy to help you in any way that I can. Andy, thank you.
Yeah. Will you help me thank Mike for me? Amen. So my hope, my prayer is that we can grow beyond what we're comfortable with. Because if we just stay with what we're comfortable with, our church will stay in the exact same place it's in. And what we know is that there are 28,000 people within 5 miles of us, 28,000 people within a stone's throw of us that do not know Christ. And if that's the case, then we can't afford to stay where we are. We can't afford to be in this exact same position. Sure, it's comfortable. And it's really nice when we get to go to church and meet and see other people that we know. That is comfortable for us. But if that's all we do, church, we will die. We will die. Not physically, maybe, but our church will decline until finally there is nobody left. And there is nobody left. And that is not the life that God has for his body. His body of Christ, for the church, that is not the life that God has for us. My hope, my prayer is that we can push beyond what we're comfortable with. And I have a few steps to outline that for you. And I consider these are action steps for discernment, where God is calling us. And the first thing is that we might seek God in prayer, that we would actually pray about where God wants us to be. We are actually going to have a prayer vigil here at the church, May 11th through May 12th. It's a Friday night after church, starts at 7:30. We're going to pray for 24 hours as a community of faith. We're going to pray for 24 hours in 10-minute increments. And if you want to join us in prayer, if you want to join us in that, I hope you will sign up. I'm going to pass this around. And if you can just sign your name, there's 24 hours on there, 10-minute increments. And if you've never done this kind of thing, 10 minutes will go by in a flash. And if you just sit there and start praying and ask God to bless you, you're going to realize that this time is going to go by a lot quicker than you think. But my hope, my prayer is that this week, whether you sign up for the prayer vigil or not, that you will start to pray and start to find God in that prayer. My also hope is that you'll find God in action, in activity, as you're going about, not just that you would stop and think about God and that would be the only time that you think, right, that God would be on your mind, that actually throughout your day-to-day that you would find God. 1 Thessalonians, the writer says this, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Pray without ceasing. I don't think that means that every minute we should just be muttering a prayer to God, but that our entire actions, every part of our body, every part of our activity should be dedicated to God, that we'd be mindful that God is there, God is with us in those moments, in the good times and the bad, right? That we are mindful, we pray without ceasing, and then finally, my hope is that we will be aware of the presence of God in all things. We will be aware of the presence of God in all things, that when we do this, when we pray, when we find God in activity, when we start to do things like mission or otherwise, when we start to do those things, when we find God in that, we will start to see that God is in everything. God is in all things. And my hope is that in those moments, you would find God speaking to you, that you would start to hear the voice of God, you would hear the will of God for your life, and that it would move you to move beyond your comfort zone, that we can do something about this campaign for the kids, because it will truly make a difference. Because what you are doing, even in this place, is making a difference. I want to show you a video of one of our members, of Miss Ruby Moy. I call her Super Ruby. And I don't know if you know, but Ruby came to us. Her first encounter with us was actually on Sunday at Acts 2, and we had her share a little bit of her story. Let's take a look at it together.
So I'm Ruby Moy. I ended up coming here to the second service, and I met three people. Pastor Mark was the third person, and I realized he had a badge, like a gold badge, and I said, oh my gosh, you're the senior pastor. He's like, yes, I am. And he introduced himself, and I don't know, I just felt peace. That Sunday morning, I knew I was at peace here, and the coming back, of course I'm going to come back to home. It's peaceful. It feels right deep in my soul. I know that sounds corny, but it's deep inside. No matter where I am on this campus, inside the church, I'm at peace. But I felt even more at peace, if that's even possible, at One Church. And just Pastor Andy and just Everyone there is just so welcoming. It's just wonderful, this community there. My hope for the future of Acts 2 Church and One Church would be that the Holy Spirit would just continue to just work through Pastor Mark and work through Pastor Andy and the staff, just to continue to just be humble and to serve, so that the message of God can just be delivered and that we can continue to grow, and so that we can go out there and be a light in the world. That's really what I hope. So I really hope that, you know, for this upcoming campaign, I hope that each of us that are members here at Acts 2 and 1 Church, that we pray as to how God's going to lead us to give faithfully. It may be difficult for some of us, me included, but I'm going to pray and trust in the Lord.
Amen. Will you help me celebrate Miss Ruby? A year ago in January, we set out. One Church was started to be a new community for new people seeking to change the world with the love of God. And my hope is that we would continue that every day of our lives, not just when we gather for worship, but every bit of our lives we'd be looking for new people and invite them to a new community so that we can change the world together. Let us pray. God, I pray that you would bless us here, that you'd pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. God, that in these moments we would find you. God, please mold us. In those crooked places, we pray that you would make them straight. Those rough edges, we pray that you would smooth those out. God, that in everything, we pray that you would be glorified. God, that when others look at us, they would not find us. They would not see us. God, that they would see you shining through us. We ask for it in the name of Jesus Christ, who came and lived and taught us even how to pray by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."